Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. We're coming to you live from the UFO Leak headquarters, which tonight is the Coast to Coast AM studios right here in Los Angeles, California. And standing in on this Sunday evening, I am your host, Jimmy Church. And tonight, my guests are Dr. Stephen Greer and Richard Dolan. Now, there is no question that right now, for the first time in history of ufology and this community, that the subject of UFOs has never been covered in the mainstream media like it has been for the last year and a half. There isn't a day that goes by without another story being covered by any of the mainstream media networks, online, in print, or on television. UFOs are now okay to talk about. Along with Coast to Coast AM and my other show, Fade to Black, we have been trying to find the answers over the years with researchers, with authors, with witnesses and video and images and contactees. Well, my two guests tonight, Dr. Stephen Greer and Richard Dolan, have been on the front line. They've been fighting the good fight in trying to get research and information out to the public with lectures and books and video, film, for more than two decades. Tonight, we are going to discuss the recent Davis-Wilson leaked UFO documents. Dr. Greer is mentioned a few times in the docs, and Richard has been reporting on them for a very long time. Now, we talked about them last year, Richard and I, on Fade to Black before the leak, and this was back in April of 2019 when the original documents hit the web. Now, a little background here. This past February, I was approached by Grant Cameron and his attorney, Michael Hall. And during our conversation, Grant told me that he had in his possession a set of documents that could quite possibly expose and disclose the entire UFO question. And he agreed to come on the show at that time, and we would do that in a couple of weeks. I'm using air quotes here in the studio. Well, after that, Grant went silent. He had changed his mind. And I thought to myself, what could be in these documents that even Grant Cameron got scared? Well, now we know. The documents were leaked on the net back in April, but nobody noticed. And shortly after, they were sent to me, but I didn't know at that time that these documents were that important. I didn't read through them. And I also didn't know that they were the same documents that Grant had in his possession. And I thought that they were just too good. So I just dismissed them. Well, they were also sent to Richard Dolan. And he immediately did his own research. Then they were sent out a second time. And I took a closer look. And I realized that these were probably authentic and explosive. So I called Richard. And we'll talk later in the program about that conversation. But then I called Dr. Greer. The central point in the documents is this, that there was a meeting at the Pentagon in April 1997, and the subject was UFOs, and that Dr. Stephen Greer did the presentation, which was confirmed with me by Dr. Greer during our phone call. The leaked document is a transcript of a conversation where Dr. Eric Davis and Rear Admiral Thomas Wilson, that allegedly took place in a car in the back of the EG&G building in Las Vegas back in 2002, and the transcript was written by Eric Davis. Now, for the record, I have reached out to Dr. Davis about the authenticity of the documents, and his reply was no comment. Tonight, we are going to discuss these documents from the two sides. Later with Richard Dolan, who has been covering the story with a series of reports over the last 2 weeks, and with my first guest, Dr. Stephen Greer, who has been revealing these types of meetings with high-level government military officials. And for the first time, we may have the confirmation that they have and are taking place. So you know what to do. Turn down the lights. Get ready. This is a very special presentation. This is another event right here on Coast to Coast AM. You can follow me right now on Twitter at JChurchRadio. As you know, Twitter is always live to my left right here in the studio. Any questions or comments, you can post them right there. And if your tweet is good enough, maybe Donna will allow it to be read on the air. Enjoy the bumper music tonight. Really cool theme going on. And to be honest with you, I thought it was not that clever. But Michael, our engineer here in the studio, just couldn't figure it out. It took him a few minutes. But check out the theme tonight. I think it's pretty cool. And also, a little bit later, we'll open up the phones and we'll have some conversation because it is Sunday night. This is Coast to Coast AM. Let's do this. I am your host, Jimmy Church, and I'll be right back with our first guest, Dr. Stephen Greer. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Any questions or comments for myself or Dr. Greer, you can post it right there. And if it's good, if it's smart, maybe it'll get read on the air. Very important show tonight. Dr. Stephen M. Greer is the founder of the Disclosure Project, the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, CSETI, the Orion Project, and Sirius Technology Advanced Research, LLC. Father of the disclosure movement, he presided over the groundbreaking National Press Club disclosure event back in May 2001, where over 20 military, government, and intelligence and corporate witnesses presented compelling testimony with regarding the existence of extraterrestrial life. He's got a new film coming out. His website that you need to go and check out if you would like to participate is cefilm.com. The links are over at Coast to Coast. And I would like to welcome back to Coast, Dr. Stephen Greer. Dr. Greer, good evening. Good morning where you are. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
It's good to hear your voice. Crazy times, Dr. Greer. We've had a few weeks now to kind of digest what these documents are. Where are you now? What's your assessment?
Well, we've sort of had a thought this was all kind of funny because, as you know, a couple decades ago, once I had concluded that most of the executive branch, the president and others, as well as people like Admiral Wilson, were being denied access to these projects related to UFOs, I formed what's now known as the Global Disclosure Project movement to disclose this. And we had, as you mentioned, the 2001 National Press Club event that sort of kicked that off. What people need to understand is prior to that, the reason we did that was because starting with President Clinton and his first CIA director, whom I had briefed privately, as well as other senior people in the Clinton administration and the Congress and the Pentagon, we had concluded that the people who were read into, which is the military code or, you know, lingo for being briefed on something, but the people who were read into these projects were selected for being willing to go along with a deep black criminal organization. And the people who I've called the white hat, like Admiral Wilson, who is the topic of these notes from Dr. Davis, and others like him, many others like him that I have personally briefed, were completely denied access to these projects. And I think when I first started sharing this, the public and even the UFO public couldn't believe that would be true. Now we have in black and white the notes, and I can authenticate the gist of everything in those notes that he had, Eric Davis, made from his conversation, a couple-hour conversation with Admiral Tom Wilson, and that, in fact, prior to my briefing the Admiral, I had heard back from my POC, my point of contact to him, who was a naval commander, Will Miller, who had been the go-between to help set this briefing up, and that we had given a large dossier of top-secret documents, some of which had not been declassified, that I had acquired, as well as a lot of other, let's call it, actionable intelligence. And so Admiral Wilson started making inquiries even before we had the meeting with astronaut Edgar Mitchell and myself and a few other people. And I heard back quite quickly that Admiral Wilson, as is reported in these notes, had been flat-out denied access, even though legally he was supposed to be able to be read into those projects. And on the first page of those documents, if folks are looking at that, of this Eric Davis memo, you know, he mentions the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is a huge organization similar to the CIA, but it's for the Pentagon as opposed to civilian. And General Patrick Hughes had also been denied access. Now, it's a little muddled in those notes. I think Eric got confused. The briefing I did for the General Hughes, who was the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, was actually after and not at the same time as the briefing that I did for Admiral Wilson. So this was called a stand-up briefing. It was a formal briefing at the Pentagon. You know, we had to get cleared to go through all the levels of security to get in there and to be in the conference room for Admiral Wilson, who I think the public needs to understand was J2, which is the head of intelligence for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a major senior position in the Pentagon. This would be the person who would put together the intelligence briefings for the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Pentagon. And the fact that he had informed us prior to this this stand-up briefing I did for him that he had been denied access was very disturbing, but not surprising to me because, you know, several years earlier, I had spent 2 or 3 hours briefing the sitting director of the CIA on these problems. And he also, as well as President Clinton, had been shoved aside and told, basically, we're not going to tell you anything. And so I learned from 1992 and 93 until we did the public disclosure project, and have had it continuously confirmed since then, that the operations dealing with this are clandestine, but at a level beyond a normal special access project or SAP. These are what are called USAPs, unacknowledged special access projects, a term that is confirmed and used by Admiral Wilson in these notes. And that's why, you know, the documentary that came out a couple years ago, Unacknowledged, which has now had nearly 300 million people see it around the world, that's why it's called Unacknowledged. Most people, even they can spend their whole careers in the military, don't know about the very existence of a USAP.
Let me jump in real quick before we get to the break.
Yeah, sure.
Which is, you are referring to this meeting right now. It's the same meeting that is mentioned in the document leak. And what I wanted to ask you, who set up that meeting? Was it you? Was it Wilson? How did that meeting get set up at the Pentagon?
Well, one of my military advisors back in the day was this Commander Miller, who had a top secret clearance, had also been involved in some USAPs. He and I discussed this, and we started talking about who he knew that had a need to know, but who perhaps weren't being told the truth. So he knew of Admiral Wilson. I think he had worked with him at some point earlier in his career. And so he asked the Admiral if he would like to be briefed on this subject, and he said yes. So I agreed to go up to Washington to do the briefing, and so I was the guy to read him into these projects, which is kind of weird because I'm a civilian emergency room doctor, but who had dug into all this stuff at a very deep level. And so I'm sitting there at the Pentagon briefing someone who is, by all rights, should absolutely know this, but didn't. And so this is going through the looking glass. I mean, if you talk about completely an upside down situation, I have never held a security clearance. I don't have one now. I've never gotten a penny from the U.S. government, although I certainly have paid zillions of dollars to them. But I what I found was that there were so many people who were really good folks who are responsible for our security and have been deceived and lied to on these projects. And I think this is a moment of compassion people have to understand. If you read this memo, you can see the anger and also fear from Admiral Wilson being in that position. And if you read these documents, you'll see that when he kept pushing on it, he was threatened with having a demotion and having a couple of stars taken off of his position. And I know that that's happened because, you know, there's a number of cases where people I've dealt with that once they made inquiries that were too piercing were literally threatened with that or worse that I've worked with. And I think before the break, I want people to think about one thing for a moment. This is a memo confirming one meeting, but I've taken over the last almost 30 years, 27 years, over 950 meetings like this. Someday I'll have to tell this story. But the truth is that I've been warning the public for many years that there is this program dealing with UFOs in the government is transnational, not international. It is criminal. It is the largest criminal organization in the world, and their operations have violated the Constitution and the rule of law, and we can prove it in a court case. So that was the foundation of the Disclosure Project. A lot of people don't realize. They say, how did you get all these men and women to come forward? I told them that their non-disclosure agreements were null and void because the underlying operation was itself a criminal enterprise, and I can prove it. So that's why people say, why hasn't the FBI arrested you? Why hasn't this? I said, because, you know, we would immediately, I have some attorneys on speed dial. This would be the biggest constitutional crisis in the history of the United States. They don't want to go there. But we can prove, as Admiral Wilson states here, that this program was so illegally run and top secret that they were denying him access, even though he was legally required to be overseeing it. And it states as much in this memo.
Before we get to the break, when I called you about the documents and about this meeting, yeah. And I said it was in April of 1997, you immediately said, was that the one with Edgar Mitchell? And I said, yes. And that was interesting how the document confirmed. You didn't even know. You hadn't read the document up to that point. How did Edgar Mitchell come to attend the meeting?
Well, he and I had been working together on some projects, and he was really in the 90s just learning about a lot of these issues, and he had founded the Institute of Noetic Sciences that studies consciousness and things of this sort. He was an Apollo astronaut, that, you know, the sixth man to walk on the moon. And so I began to share information with him and invite him to some of the early Project Starlight briefings. Now, those were the predecessor to the global disclosure movement that I started in 2001. Project Starlight was the name of the private briefings we were doing when we were still hopeful that either the president or the Congress or someone in an official standing here or abroad would come forward. And so Edgar Mitchell was learning about this. So I invited him personally as my guest to the meeting. He was not there to brief the admiral. I was asked to do the stand-up briefing for him. But Edgar was there to learn and to confirm that he had heard from other sources that all this was legitimate, and was there in a support role, let's say, in terms of encouraging the admiral to get to the bottom of it, to do something about it.
When you look at the documents now in their entirety, there's information in there that only you and who was in this small circle of people would know, including who attended that meeting. Is everything as factual as far as you know, that only a small circle of people? In other words, could the documents have been hoaxed or faked?
Oh, no, these aren't hoaxed or faked, because, I mean, I know too many of the specific details of the meeting, because it was a meeting that I was party to setting up and was the main briefer for the admiral. So, no, it's substantially correct, and nothing in it is at all surprising to me. There are a few things that are kind of garbled, like on the first page where it talks about General Hughes. I mean, that was a later thing. It wasn't involving that briefing at all.
Right.
And there are some things that are on the background that are missing because, obviously, they didn't do an exhaustive discussion about it. It was a brief meeting in the back of a car.
Right.
But it's substantially correct as well, you know, the names of a number of the offices and the whole process that the admiral went through and the to try to get to the bottom, and the fact that he found out that these USAPs, these unacknowledged special access projects, were actually embedded within and hidden with other legitimate special access projects on top of them, which is another kind of structural the architecture of the secrecy that I began to talk about in the 90s. And I think a lot of people thought I had gone daft. They were going, oh, this can't be true. These people would know.
Well, let me jump in. We got to take, Dr. Greer, we got to take a break right here. We will continue when we come back. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. You can also follow Dr. Greer at Dr. Stephen Greer on Twitter. Tonight, we are discussing the Davis-Wilson leaked UFO documents. My guests are Dr. Stephen Greer and later on tonight, Richard Dolan. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. I am your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, Dr. Stephen Greer. We're talking about the Davis-Wilson leaked UFO documents that generally hit the public about 3 weeks ago. They've been out and exposed since April of this year, but they went unnoticed. And I found that interesting, Dr. Greer. Why do you think, with all of the mainstream media coverage that has been happening for the last year and a half, when it comes to UFOs and the Navy and the military and the Pentagon, that these documents suddenly surfaced? Do you find the timing of that suspect?
I don't think it's suspect. I'm speculating here because I wasn't involved in leaking these documents. I mean, I've spoken about this briefing for many years. I think that because it includes very detailed information that goes beyond the sort of fake, I call it the fake disclosure happening through the mainstream media, where they'll show an image of a jet fighter chasing a UFO, and then they'll spin it into, oh my God, there's a threat to the national security, or it's our sovereignty, national sovereignty being invaded by these things. I think that at the same time, the very same mouthpiece is releasing those facts that are being in the mainstream media, like the New York Times. They'll say, well, we don't really know how these operate, and we don't really have any good spending that's happened. It's all a lie. I mean, the mainstream media is never going to tell the truth the public ought to know about the fact that there are trillions of dollars that have been spent illegally in these projects. And this document, somebody leaked it because, quite clearly, Admiral Wilson says, au contraire, not only are there materiel and crash materials and apparently ones that we have figured out how they work and have built our own, but he refers to the fact that the structure of the secrecy is an unacknowledged special access project that by virtue of the fact that he and people like General Hughes, who I'd also briefed, are being denied access to, is being run quite outside the rule of law. And so what you have is this sort of trickle of disclosure that is actually ironically hiding the deeper truth behind what the disclosure needs to be. And that is our democracy and the rule of law and our Constitution has run off the rails, and that there has to be a correction to this. Whereas the people who are behind what's being reported in the mainstream media now are making it sound like, gee, there just hasn't been enough funding, and we really don't know how these things work. And, it's a partial truth that is worse than a damn lie. And I think that, I'm being very blunt with you because, frankly, why not be? So I think that we have to look at this and say, well, someone wanted these documents to come out because they contain very detailed information from a senior flag officer, admiral at the Pentagon, about these meetings that we've had. And this is the tip of a very, very large iceberg. I mean, remember, I have had meetings with ministers of defense in other countries, members of royal families, many members of the Senate and Congress and Senate Intelligence Committee. And there is a very big story here that the mainstream media does not want to touch and are not allowed to report on. And that is these unacknowledged special access projects. And I would encourage everyone to see Unacknowledged. It's still on Netflix and iTunes, because it goes into the fact that the way Admiral Wilson describes how he was treated is actually typical. It is not atypical. And I think whoever released these documents wanted that salient fact to be known by the public. And now I'm just speculating. I don't know who released them or what their motive was, but I think that's the effect, let's say, of these documents.
There was, there is also in this document, it's 15 pages, two of those pages are a letter from Commander Will Miller that you know. And when you read the letter that is part of this package from Commander Miller, I'm not asking you to authenticate the letter, but is it written in his style that you've been used to over the years? Do you recognize the way it's written?
Yeah, I mean, the address that's there, his name, his signature, what he would say in it is not at all. I wasn't copied on that letter. It was something he did without my knowledge. But, you know, it was, he did his thing. We were doing our thing. We collaborated. I didn't control what Commander Miller did. But, yes, I would say that from my knowledge of him, I've been at his home at that address, et cetera. It is a legitimate letter from the commander.
The style of the transcript from Eric Davis in this, well, I'll say alleged document until Eric Davis confirms. We'll run with that for now. But in the transcript, it appears that Davis might have been assigned a little mission to go and talk to Rear Admiral Wilson about your meeting at the Pentagon. Why would this group around Eric Davis be interested in your meeting at the Pentagon in such a direct fashion?
Well, this has happened with everyone I've ever met with. I mean, you have to understand, I mean, as recently as when the current president was nominated, and I was asked to put a briefing together for him, the President Trump, a member of one of his delegates to the Republican National Committee asked me to do this. It was put into then candidate Trump's hand. And within 12 hours of that event, they put someone who has become an arch enemy of disclosure of the CIA director I briefed, R. James Woolsey, as his senior national security advisor for the Trump campaign. And they circled the wagons. This is very, very typical. So you have counterintelligence and people who I call cutouts, people who have roles to play, like Eric Davis, who had been working also with NIDS, with the billionaire Bob Bigelow, who I met back in the early 90s, 93. And he was gathering intelligence on this very important meeting and wanted to know exactly how it happened. I'm sure he was asked to do that by either Mr. Bigelow or someone in those circles working with what at the time was called NIDS, the National Institute of Discovery Science, that had a lot of members of clandestine operations that were embedded within the Bigelow organization, and they still are. So I think that it would make sense that Dr. Davis would try to get as much detailed information about what was said, who was there, what the admiral discovered. And this is kind of how intelligence gathering and counterintelligence operations run. At some point, we need to do a whole expose on that. But it's pretty classic. I don't think there's anything unusual about the fact that Davis would be trying to get this information from the admiral.
The documents appear to have come from Edgar Mitchell's personal files and archives, and
I don't know that, but perhaps
right, that, which
I
is
can't confirm that.
I know, right? But with that, do you think after you've looked at this, is there other stuff that could start to get leaked that is outside of the government's control? Because that's exactly what has happened here, apparently. This type of disclosure didn't come from the government. This came from a completely different source.
It very well could be. I mean, at some point, there could be all kinds of things that will come out from meetings with the U.N. Secretary General and his family that I had. Or, I mean, you have to understand, my group has been a voluntary group operating at those levels since 92 and 93, at the level of CIA directors or Admiral Wilson or what have you. So I think that we've done this for the public interest as unofficial folks, but we had enough very good intelligence and people on our team who were inside these projects that had very good actionable intelligence in the way of documents, facilities. This is why, you know, I think the one of these pages, it refers to Miller providing information on who the contractors were. Well, that was based on a document I created back in the 90s for Congressman Christopher Cox, who later went on to be head of the SEC for President Bush. And I was meeting at his offices in Orange County, and he was on the Science and Technology Committee for the Congress, and Congressman Cox was furious and horrified that any of this could be going on, that he had never been briefed on it. He had been in intelligence briefings. He made inquiries and got nothing. So he says, are there operations in my district in Orange County that deal with this? I said, oh, yes. I mean, I know the contractors. And so I put together a list with people like Commander Miller and other people who are on the inside about Lockheed Martin, Skunk Works, or EG&G, or the other, you know, SAIC, Science Applications International Corporation, et cetera, and put them into a memo. It's called the Cox Memo, and it's actually in the unacknowledged book that goes with the documentary that came out. And by the way, if people have any questions about this, they can hit me up at Dr. Stephen Greer on Twitter, and I'll try to just address them real quickly. But this is not unusual, you know, that you find someone like the Admiral was, because he had never been briefed on this subject, never read into it, and then he asked about it, was denied. They then try to go to other people who have seem to have good information that they can later confirm. And that was, you know, that's what we've been doing for 20-some years. And I think, you know, we're sort of we're the last stop on the F train, that basically if a president or an admiral or a senator or someone like this makes inquiries about this and they suspect they're having smoke blown up their you-know-what, they'll reach out to me or someone on my team and say, what do you guys have? And then we'll provide it. So that's pretty typical of what we do. And it's done pro bono. There's no payment involved. There's no consulting fee. There's no lobbying. It's done in the public interest. And I left my medical career to do this because I realized we were in a serious, I always joke, you know, I'm an emergency doctor. I know a damn emergency when I see one. And we're in a true national security emergency, and we have been ever since Dwight Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, lost control of these monstrous USAPs.
Then after these leaks and the news of this, got word since then that the Senate is just gotten briefings on the UFO subject from the United States Navy. Again, I find the timing just a little bit strange. What did you make of that?
Well, let me know what's going on. I remember about a year and a half ago, I think I was on one of your shows, and I said, here's what's going to happen. We're moving disclosure forward by doing things like unacknowledged, which goes mainstream and then is seen by hundreds of millions of people. They're going to set up a countermeasure that will try to hijack the momentum, but then spin it with the narrative of it being a threat to the national security. This is what Wernher von Braun, who invented the rocket for Adolf Hitler, said on his deathbed to Carol Rosen, who's on our team, and that I've heard from many, many, many people inside, let's call it the cabal of covert programs dealing with this subject, that their long-term agenda since the 50s has been to create false flag events and hoax events that would scare people, and at the same time try to keep the subject as secret as possible until they could play that card, the alien threat card, which is what Wernher von Braun warned about in the 70s prior to his death. So I think that most people think that this is sort of an opinion. It isn't an opinion. This is based on a lot of contact inside the system who come to me desperate that the public understand what's about to get unrolled. And that is you know, something that would make, you know, 9/11 look like nothing. And I think that one of the problems has always been the public is always sort of, we're always fighting the last war. We're always deconstructing and analyzing something that happened in the past. We're not looking forward. That's why in 1999, I wrote a paper called When Disclosure Serves Secrecy. And it's on our website, seriousdisclosure.com. And if you read that paper, it goes through the details of the who, what, when, and why of how they would do this. So what we're seeing right now in the last year, year and a half, is a rollout of a disclosure, but with a very specific narrative, a message that is a threat. It's designed to cause alarm and then to justify more military spending, putting up more weapons and putting weapons in space, doing all kinds of stuff, because people who are the war profiteers and the warmongers, I'm not talking about your average soldier out there. I'm not trying to bash all military and intel people. Most of them are very fine people. But the people who are very manipulative, who control things at a multi-trillion dollar global level, they need us to have a bigger enemy than a handful of terrorists in the Middle East. They really need to create the next big boogeyman. And we've known this ever since. The reason that, actually, I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I've ever said this publicly, but the main reason for the briefing with General Patrick Hughes after this briefing for Admiral Wilson, because he was head of the Defense Intelligence Agency and was actually senior to Admiral Wilson, was because he was being denied access, and he was concerned that there were things going on where there could be, even under his command, false flag operations that could manipulate the national military command authorities and the president and the Congress into a direction that could be catastrophic for our planet. He knew this. He was very aware of this problem. And so the reason I did a briefing for him, which was a smaller briefing, it was one of my military advisors and the General Hughes and a colonel who was on his staff, who was actually lying to the general, ironically, and then another member of his staff who was a woman probably in her 30s or 40s who was there because they had drawn straws to see who would be in all this meeting about ETs and UFOs. They were so interested. And General Patrick Hughes only wanted one other person. But it was an interesting meeting because with all of these sort of meetings, there's the facts that get shared. And then there's, I call them inverse disclosure witnesses. And these are people like General Hughes and Admiral Wilson who, given their high rank and position, should be read in and know about these projects, but do not. And that proves our underlying assessment that the operation is itself so clandestine that it has become illegal and is a threat to the national security. The UFOs are not a threat to the national security. The cabal is. And what I tell people is that everyone's always being misdirected to a place where there is no threat and not looking at the threat that's staring them straight in the eyeball.
We need to take a break right here, Dr. Greer. And when we come back after the break, I want to focus on why disclosure now, who is pulling those strings, and what that official agenda is. This is Coast to Coast AM. I am your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight, we are discussing the Davis-Wilson leaked UFO docs. We'll be right back. Stay with us.